Welcome to Chasing Excellence, the informative, educational, and entertaining podcast series featuring positive and inspiring stories of entrepreneurs. Now, here's your host, Kathy Hogan.
Good morning, friends. Glad to have you here. The name of this show, if, in case you did not hear it, is Chasing Excellence. And I wanted to explain that to you a little bit more in case you didn't hear my original intro in the first show. Chasing Excellence means getting up every day and doing better than you did the day before. That can mean you had a disastrous day, but you don't let it get you down. You build on that. And the next day, you keep adding and adding because it's going to balance out and it's going to create more character. The more problems you go through, the more of a well-rounded person that you are, is my opinion. So every day you should strive to get up, be a better person, be a better business, or your career if you don't own a business, or your community. You want to reach out and make your community a better place. So today, my guests are a perfect example of that concept. I want to welcome Corey Smith and Lisa Haddon with Southern Shingle Roofing. Good morning, guys, and welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Corey, tell us a little bit about your company. I know you're pretty new, can't talk today. You've only been in business, what, a little over a year?
A little over a year. So I've been in the roofing business since 2018. I started with a company out in Grayson, and we were primarily a re-roof company, you know, dealing with insurance companies and stuff like that. And then back in 2022, a good friend of mine came up to me. I had just got done coaching a little 8-year-old girls all-star softball game.
That's fun.
he was like, "Hey, what do you know about new construction roofing?" And I was like, "Literally nothing." Mm-hmm. And he was like, "Well, I need you to start doing mine." And I just kind of laughed it off. I was like, "Yeah, okay, whatever." And he was like, "No, really."
Okay.
And I was like, "Okay, well, I mean, give me a little bit to learn so I can kind of figure out what's going on." He was like, "All right, you got about 10 days.
Oh, great.
And I was like, okay.
Learn on the job, right?
Yeah. And this guy's one of my best friends. He's my mentor. His name's Bobby Hughes. He's one of the owners of Veritas Homes.
Okay, I'm familiar with them.
Yeah, and once that kind of sank in, I was like, man, this is like a big-time legit builder.
Yeah.
And they're just...
and the rest is history, right?
Yeah, as they say. They want me to take over. And the biggest thing I asked him was like, "Well, what do I need to know? Like, what do I need to do to, you know, stay in y'all's good graces?" And like, his only thing he told me was just do the right thing.
That's important.
Yeah.
I was like, well, and I have to say, I've heard that you—that's a big deal with you, customer service and doing the right thing. So
yeah, The roofing industry has gotten such a bad name over the years, you know, in the media, and not without there being some credit to that, you know, because there's a lot of companies out there that do a lot of storm chasing and, you know, they take advantage of people.
Right. That's unfortunate, but it happens. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah, it is. And one thing that, I really wanted to do was to try and fight that, you know, that stigma that comes with roofers. And that was from the very beginning, you know, the company that I was at first. And that was something that they did too. You know, that wasn't just me, you know, that was their,
that's good to hear because I don't know about you, but you're probably being in that business, but any business lately, it's almost impossible to find good customer service. And I'm such a customer service freak, you know, and if I don't experience it when I'm out, shame on you, because people are going to hear about it, but they should, don't you think?
Yeah,
if you're not doing a good job. But your partner over here, Miss Lisa, she raves on. I'm not going to tell you a whole lot because then she says you'll get a big head. But she says that customer service is paramount with you. And I knew I liked you when she said that. So continue on, sir.
Yeah, it's service is huge. You know, I tell my guys all the time, I'm like, you know, you really don't understand. You know, you can set yourself apart from so many other people just by showing up when you say you're going to show up. You know, and it seems so simple, but you would be surprised how many companies don't do that. You know, when I was starting out, I would make an appointment with somebody and I would show up and they'd be like, oh my God, I can't believe you showed up. And
exactly.
I'd be like, what do you mean? And they'd be like, well, I've had three other companies say they were coming out and nobody ever showed up. And I'm like, well, that's kind of weird. And then the more I started hearing that, the more it started becoming really apparent to me that, you know, not everybody makes that such a priority.
And that's unfortunate because that puts the face on your business, in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, because you don't show up or you do something wrong, it's not just that one person that's going to hear about it. They're going to tell their friends. Mm-hmm. It's going to kill your business if that's not paramount to your business. Good customer service. So I'm glad you're doing that.
For sure.
Corey, tell us, let's see, you said you've had your own business for about a year now.
So December 29th, 2022.
Okay.
Is when Southern Shingle came into being.
And that is new.
Yeah.
But tell them how successful. You don't have to give any numbers, but this guy is blowing the doors off in this roofing industry, and it's I'm so excited for you.
Yeah.
Because I think that's just amazing.
I appreciate that. Yeah. It's been crazy. You know, I left a really good company, mm-hmm. and it wasn't because there was any hard feelings or anything like that. It was just, there was stuff that I wanted to do that they didn't have any interest in doing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, okay, the only way for me to do this is to kind of start my own thing.
Love it.
So I did. And I didn't know what to expect. I mean, it was 100% just a straight walking out on faith, mm-hmm. type of thing. I was like, you know, this might last 2 weeks.
Exactly. I've
not,
been there.
I'm not going to look very smart. But
you would learn either way.
Yeah.
That's the thing, you know.
Yeah.
If you had fallen on your face, you would have learned from that, gotten back up and done better.
Yeah, that's kind of the story of my life right there.
Yeah. But, well, you know, they say it's not in the falling down, it's in the getting up and moving on where the power is.
Yeah,
and
it really
I think
is.
You've done a good job with that.
It really is. And there's a lot of things in my life that went that way that kind of gave me the courage to do that.
Uh-huh. Why don't you get into that for us?
So
I want to hear your story.
Yeah,
it's
okay,
a good one.
Okay.
Take a deep breath.
I was, you know, I had pretty much just a normal childhood. Mm-hmm. You know, I was never really getting in a whole lot of trouble. When I got into high school, I didn't really party a lot. And none of my friends did either there at the beginning. But then, you know, when I was a junior, when I was a senior, you would start hearing about people going out and partying, you know, mm-hmm. the typical thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was never invited. And I was like, well, that's kind of weird. I want to come too. And it started me, making me feel like I didn't fit in for mm-hmm. some reason. So at some point I decided that I wanted to fit in. Mm-hmm. So I was going to do whatever I had to do to be a part of that. And, you know, it started with, you know, drinking beer, going over to somebody's house on Friday night and mm-hmm. having a quote unquote party with like six people, you know.
Rocking.
Yeah.
It's a rager, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And then there at the end of my high school career, and I guess that summer, drugs really, really came into the picture. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't really crazy right off the rip, but it got crazy real, real quick. Mm-hmm. You know, I started out just smoking weed every now and then.
Right.
And I was like, well, this isn't a big deal, you know? And then it moved to other harder things. Mm-hmm. And then it started becoming a big deal. Mm-hmm. I was in college. I was making really good grades. So I was like, well, I'm making good grades. I'm working, you know, I got it. It's not a big deal. If I want to get high, I'll get high. You know, I'm an adult now.
Yeah.
You know, quote unquote.
I'm in college.
Yeah. And then I got hurt at the gym one day. I separated my shoulder really, really bad. And I went to the doctor and they were like, you need to have surgery. And a good friend of mine in high school, he had had shoulder surgery. So I called him up and I was like, yeah, well, this is what they're saying. You know, I need to have surgery. And he was like, dude, whatever you do, do not have shoulder surgery. And I was like, well, I don't want to have a messed up shoulder the rest of my life. And he was like, dude, I can't even do a push-up. And I was like, well, I'm not doing that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I ended up going back to the doctor and I told him I'm not having surgery. So we need to figure something else out. And they were like, well, all we can really do, man, is give you some painkillers. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, that's fine. How long am I going to be out of the gym for? That was all I was concerned about, you know, whatever.
Things, right?
And they were like, you know, probably about 3 months. Well, in that 3 month time period, I can remember sitting on my couch in my apartment watching TV. And my shoulder was, it was hurt pretty bad. And I ended up taking one more painkiller than I was supposed to, just because I was like, dude, this is crazy. I can't sleep. Like, this sucks. Mm-hmm. And I will never, ever forget what it felt like when that hit me. You know, I mean, it was like, oh my God, this is the best feeling mm-hmm. in the world.
Wow.
You know, I don't smell like smoke. I don't smell like alcohol. You know, my eyes aren't bloodshot. I mean, this is great. Nobody knows that I'm high. I mean, mm-hmm. this is just, I want to feel like this forever. Mm-hmm. And that was probably the scariest time when I look back mm-hmm. because I was like, you know, this is, a doctor gave this to me. This is perfect.
Yeah, it should be fine, right?
Yeah,
Dr.
Yeah,
Baby
yeah. And that progressed into much stronger pain medication. And then eventually it progressed into heroin. And, you know, that was just it steals your soul. I mean, it really does. I mean, things that you never imagined that you would do. I mean, you do it.
Right.
And you don't just do it once. You do it over and over and over and over and over. And, you know, my parents had never dealt with anything like that. You know, there's addiction on both sides of my family. But, you know, back then when they grew up, I mean, they grew up in Buford, and that was like a tiny place. You know, I don't even think... My dad, one time, he was like, I don't even think they had drugs, you know,
yeah.
in Buford back then.
They may not. Who knows until yeah, you came
yeah,
on.
Yeah, yeah, right? yeah. But it was alcohol, mm-hmm. you know, it was alcohol. And I'd always heard growing up, you know, you need to be careful because, you know, you've got it on both sides of your family,
right.
you know, drinking problems. And I was like, well, I have a drinking problem, so it's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. They didn't know how to handle it. Mm-hmm.
I can imagine they didn't.
And not that any parent does.
Right.
You know, when your child gets to that point. I can't imagine. I mean, I sort of can imagine because I've been through it. But, you know, if when my kids get older, if that was something that we had to deal with, I'm sure that I would have some of the feelings and emotions that my parents did. Mm-hmm. So they did what, you know, any parent would do. And they tried to get me help, you know,
right.
tried to send me to rehab, all that stuff. And I was okay at rehab. You know, I would be good and do the right thing until I didn't want to anymore. Mm. And then it was just, I was going to do whatever I wanted to do, how I wanted to do it. And it didn't matter who that affected right. or who it hurt. And, you know, people say, well, you got to hit rock bottom before you can really start getting better. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, well, I've hit rock bottom like 9 or 10 times.
Slow learner never, there.
Yeah,
right?
yeah. It's never gotten better. And that progressed throughout my entire, you know, 20s. And then when I was 24. My youngest brother, he was 16, mm-hmm. he collapsed running around the track at Buford High School.
Oh.
And died.
Oh, no.
And
so sorry.
It was, that just intensified everything, you know, yeah. which was wild because if you put on paper, who should leave this world and who shouldn't, you know, mm-hmm. it definitely shouldn't have been him. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I held a grudge and I blamed God for a long, long time, mm-hmm. you know, because it didn't make any sense.
Right.
And then, you know, I finally had to come to terms with the fact that sometimes things just don't make sense.
Right.
I wasn't able to do that until I got sober. But, you know, after that happened, I spiraled more. Right. And
I can understand that.
Out of control. Yeah. And it just, it progressed through the rest of my 20s, you know. At that point, I was married, had a stepdaughter, and then I ended up having my daughter, Blakely, my biological daughter, in 2014, and then 2017, I had my son, mm-hmm. Bryant. And I wanted so bad to be sober for them, mm-hmm. and I couldn't do it. I literally couldn't do it. I mean, it was like, I don't know, for years, I was just treading water.
Right.
You know, just trying not to drown. And I didn't know if I was ever going to be able to get out of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the truth. I just really didn't. I was cutting grass, you know, for a living. And I remember coming home. I was probably 26 or 27. And pouring myself a drink and sitting down in my recliner and being like, I'm 27 years old and I'm in pretty good shape. And I don't know how I'm going to keep doing this very much longer.
Right.
It was that hard, you know. And, you know, during that point in time, I think I was clean. Wasn't doing any drugs, but I was drinking a lot. Mm-hmm. And then there were a couple things that happened in my life at that point, and I just went right back to what I was familiar with.
Right.
You know, started using again. And then my parents found this place. I was 29. They found this place in Lawrenceville, Georgia, that I ended up going to. It was kind of a rehab halfway house thing. Mm-hmm. And I got introduced to, today, the people that I call my best friends. Mm-hmm. You know, and I got introduced to AA, okay. which I'd heard about AA, but I'd never been to it mm-hmm. before. But we were forced to go to AA, and I was like, oh, my God, here we go. This is going to be stupid.
yeah, I don't need this, right?
You know what I mean?
This is dumb. I don't need this.
Yeah, and about a month in, I was like, man, this is different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can tell. I didn't know what. I could tell something was changing. And I was like, well, I mean, at least something's changing. Nothing ever has before, so let's see what happens. And I became more and more active in AA, and I ended up, I got about 16 months sober, and then I relapsed again.
Oh, gee.
Yeah. Which is pretty common.
Yeah, that's what I've heard.
You know, and I got sober again, and then I relapsed again. And then I remember at the end of 2019, I was like, I cannot do this anymore. I just can't. Like, I'm done. So something has to give, you know. And at that point, you know, I hit my knees and I prayed and I was like, look, if it's time for me to go, then just go ahead and take me, because I'm exhausted physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. I'm just done. And I think that right there was the turning point of a lot of things, because I just 100% surrendered. I think for a long time I was still trying to hold on to some control.
Oh, yeah, we do, don't we?
Yeah. And when I got to that point, I mean, things did start changing. Mm-hmm. Went to a detox facility. I got out, and I went back to work. And every day I got up and I was like, okay, I'm going to surrender today. You know, I'm not going to be in control today. And I did that every day for a long time. And still real active in AA. And I started doing really, really good at work. Mm-hmm. You know, I started becoming a pretty good roof salesman. I got promoted, and I was a sales manager at that point. And I started, you know, having people under me, mm-hmm. which was weird.
Right, all things considered, yeah. Right?
I was like, y'all want me to
do what?
Teach these people and right. stuff. And they're like, yeah.
Oh, but they didn't know what they had in front of them, did they?
I think they did.
Do you?
I think they did. I think they saw something that I didn't.
Okay, good.
You know, and I have a lot of gratitude mm-hmm. for that because it gave me a lot of confidence.
Good.
And, you know, I did start helping people and looking after people and teaching them the things that I knew. I had a really, really good teacher when I first got started. I mean, you know, he taught me everything that he knew mm-hmm. in the beginning, and that got me to the point to where I could be successful and then start learning things on my own.
Right.
And be able build to
teach
others.
Build that confidence
yeah,
up, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's a big part of it, I think.
Yeah, and you know, it was weird because I had a lot of confidence and then I didn't have a lot of confidence, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. like I was still really self-conscious. Mm-hmm. I had some pretty bad self-esteem issues yeah. and those didn't really go away until, my friend Bobby came up to me after that softball game. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we would have lunch, we would talk on the phone all the time, and he was like, well, when are you leaving? When are you leaving and doing this on your own? Mm-hmm. And I was like, dude, I don't know. I don't know if I can do it. And he was like, yeah, you can. Yes, you can. You're doing it now.
He's a good friend.
He is. He's my, you know, he's one of my best friends. He's my mentor. And I give him a lot of credit because he helped me find courage that I didn't know mm-hmm. that I had.
That's good. That is a true friend.
Yes.
They see things in us that we don't see.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, he helped me find the courage and the belief in myself to take that leap of faith.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember him telling me one time, he was like, well, if you're gonna bet on something, why not bet on yourself?
Love that.
You know,
yeah.
And I remember,
and that's true.
Like, yeah,
yeah.
I remember being like, I don't think I've ever done that before. Mm-hmm. You know, and I did, and that's how Southern Shingle came about. And you know, we got really busy, really
so
quick,
I've heard.
And there was only two of us. Mm-hmm. You know, there was only two of us, and. You know, at that point, we'd gotten like three more really good builders, mm-hmm. you know, that mm-hmm. are, you know, really big in the community. And, you know, even though there was only two of us, I mean, we had a re-roof every day. You know, we had new construction all over the place. I remember one day we were at lunch and I was like, Drew, we need help, dude. We need help. We need a lot of help.
Right.
And he was like, yeah, you better find some. I was like, okay.
And then you called Lisa.
Yeah, well, I called Lisa from the beginning. And I was like, hey, look, I'm about to do it.
Mm-hmm. So let me interject here.
Just okay.
So the funny thing is like at the previous roofing company he mm-hmm. was at is where Corey and I met.
Right.
And about the time, I guess, like he had his last relapse. And Millie and I had started in 2019 at that company, and I didn't even really know him. Mm-hmm. Like, I'd seen him in passing or whatever. Met him at the Christmas party, and I was like, what a weird guy. I was like, he's so strange. Like, he just kind of sat there like a lump. I mean,
yeah.
This conversation you're having would have never happened that day.
Right.
And so, like, you know, he did the – another detox place and then came back and was that 2020 and mm-hmm. COVID hit.
Yeah.
Oh,
so like in roofing, like it's a lot of face-to-face
right.
marketing is what we do. A lot of knocking on doors, you know? So we had to revamp that. Like, and it's a big deal to think outside of the box.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Corey started going with me to networking meetings, chamber, Rotary Club,
right,
all different kinds of things, and
just
and he was
dragging you out of your comfort zone, bud.
And he would sit there, very much so. And he was like, "What are we doing? Do I have to talk? Do I have to say something?
I got you.
I have to say something out loud." Oh, yeah. I was like, "Yeah, you have to say your name. Like, it's a 30-second intro. You'll be fine."
Can I just interject myself? The first time I met him was at a networking group, and he walked in. He looked like a deer in headlights. You can see that. Do I have to talk? Look on his face.
Yeah.
Right. So carry on. Yeah.
And I was like, okay. But he would ride with me every day. Like, we would go out every day and just trying to find, like, different ways to promote our business and get sales. Like, and even as far as, like, we would take cookies, we would take groceries to people that couldn't leave their house. I mean, because as an essential business, like, we were out on the streets, like, it just was what it was. And some people were just, they wouldn't leave. So I'd volunteer him for everything. I'm like, oh, Corey can do it. He's fine. He's got muscles. He can do this. We're good. And they're like,
yes, he does.
they're like, why do you volunteer him so much? I was like, he needs to do this. He needs to be out there.
Yeah. Getting FaceTime, as I say. Yeah.
So I ended up leaving the roofing company and went to work at a restaurant. And I told Corey then, I said, he was like, well, you're not going to another roofing company. And I was like, if I ever work for another roofing company, it's going to be yours.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not working for anybody else. I'm not doing roofing. I will always promote you. Like,
So at this point, he wasn't weird anymore, right?
No, we got him out of his shell a little bit. He's still weird. He's still a little weird, but he'll speak out loud.
I'll take that. Yeah,
you know,
makes life interesting, right, Corey?
Oh yeah.
But
for sure.
Those 2 years, we became very close. Like, you know, I didn't know a lot of people in this area. He knows everybody. So, you know, I go into his kids. You know, softball games and baseball games. And, you know, it was just one of those things that, like, we just became friends. Mm-hmm. And he sees stuff in people that what we see in him, he doesn't see in himself, but
right.
What he sees in other people. He does that for others as well. Mm-hmm. Not just for me, but, like, for all of our staff.
Mm-hmm.
And he kind of likes for people to just do what they're good at. So, like, he kind of finds what they're good at, and he's like, just do it.
And love that.
For sure.
So, you know, when he started Southern Shingle, he came to me. I was leaving the restaurant that I was at, I had been at, and he was like, it's going to happen.
Uh-huh.
He was like, can you start, like, building a website and Facebook? And because he does not do computer stuff or social
media.
He does not do social media at all. He was now on LinkedIn, though.
We've got him on LinkedIn.
That's a big step.
Yeah. But,
and now you're on the radio.
I know.
Ooh, look out, Corey's on the roll.
Oh, man, yeah.
So, like, I started setting up all that, and I was like, these are the organizations we need to be involved in. These are the licenses we need. Like, so while he is selling roofs and he's out there, you know, handling the day-to-day, you know, he had people in the background that were helping him put the business aspect of things together for him. Because, you know, a legitimate.
Yeah. Hey, we're a business now. We need to act like it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there were things that are important that he wanted happening very quickly.
But
so
he knows enough to delegate.
Yes.
What his weaknesses are. And see, that's the key to me for businesses. Delegate your weaknesses so you can focus on your strengths. And that's what he did. He saw in you. Let me just tell you, this girl is out there kicking butt.
Oh, yeah.
Give her a raise, Corey. She is killing it out there.
You know, when COVID happened and we were going out doing all these things, I was like, God, this sucks. You know, but when I was out there sitting on the couch waiting to do this earlier, you know, I got a phone call. And a text from somebody that came from stuff that we did back in 2020. And it happens every day.
And then it just kept on and rolling and rolling.
Yeah. So, you know, like she was saying, she'll come in my office. She'll be like, hey, you know, we need to, And I'll just be like,
He's like, I don't want to do it. I was like, just go do it. But you're going to.
Here's what you did yesterday, Corey. I'm letting you know, okay?
I do that as well. I'm like, I need your card. I was like, we're about to buy something for somebody.
But, you know, it was very humbling.
Yeah.
In the beginning.
Sure.
So I was like, you know, I know, you know, me and Drew are doing this. How am I going to convince other people to want to come work with me?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, Melanie was like, you know, wherever you're at, that's where I'm going to be.
Oh, good.
You know, and Lisa said that too. And then, you know, there were other guys that were like, I'm with you, dude. And to have people leave somewhere that was very well established, that had a very good name, and put that kind of faith in me,
right?
You know, to risk their livelihoods and to just take a chance on me,
right?
Basically, that was so humbling. And I think about that every day, every single day. I mean, when I walk in that office, I'm like, every single person here is here now and came here because of the faith that they had in me.
Right.
You know, the belief that they had in me. And it's hard to swallow sometimes, but you know, it's one of those things to where I try to make people know every single day how much they're appreciated.
That's gratitude, you know, my friend.
How much I appreciate them, because I tell all of them all the time, like, I can only be really good at the things that I'm really good at if I let you guys do the things that you're really good at.
So you're smart in that way.
Yeah, well, I just figured out it would be better if...
Well, it not only helps you, it helps them, because you're in turn giving them confidence, like they gave you by showing you their commitment to what you were doing.
Definitely.
So it's a circle. You know,
definitely.
You're putting good stuff out there, Corey. Definitely. Well, you have a compelling story for sure. And I was so excited to be able to have you in here to tell your story.
I appreciate
it. And I know we haven't known each other long, but I'm so proud of you.
Thank you very much.
And Lisa, like I said, is out there killing it for you. Yeah. And the company is doing great. So anybody that needs roofing, call Southern Shingle Roofing. We're going to have the contact information for them. But Corey, if you got anything else you want to say, Lisa, anything else you want to say?
Well, I mean, I'll just put the stuff out there. We are an actual licensed roofer in the state of Georgia. Right. It's not required to be licensed in the state of Georgia. That was something we were adamant about, that we had to have a license. Right. So we took the test. We've, you know, haven't renewed every year. Like, I mean, you know, that's something that I think is just really important for people to understand. Yeah. And if you're going to find a roofer, like, please, like, make sure they are licensed in the state that you live in. And I'm just super proud, like, because we did win Best of Gwinnett for 2023. Ooh, we won Best of Georgia regional winner for 2023 as well, awesome. Which is a great accomplishment in my book for Corey, and a testament for not just him, but for the whole company.
Right.
Yes.
It's a team for sure, right?
It's a family is what it is. Like, they are family.
Are you hiring Corey?
Yeah.
I might need another job.
It's
sounding better and better.
Yeah. Yeah.
And our website is southernshingle.com, and we're on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn.
All of the goodies.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't get him to dance on TikTok yet. That is the next goal. I've been trying for 5 years.
Okay.
He won't do it.
Oh, I can't wait for that one. And you know what? Corey is known for his fabulous boots.
He is?
Look at this guy in his boots. I could just see you dancing on a tabletop in those boots, buddy. Yeah, let's do it. Lisa, I'll help you. That's all right. We'll catch you when you fall.
Yeah.
Corey, you have anything else?
No, we will not. Wait a second. He's a big dude.
I wish people could see him. He's like a brick house, this guy. Holy cow. Corey, anything else?
I can't sit here and take all of the credit for, you know, what we've been able to pull off. You know, it's to me, it's a total God thing. Mm-hmm. You know, the people that he's brought to me, mm-hmm. you know, brought in my life that have helped me build Southern Shingle into what it is today. I mean, I get up and get dressed and I get in the truck mm-hmm. and I let him handle the rest. And,
that's awesome.
He's done an awesome job.
So, yeah. So we'll give him props, that. Right?
Yeah, for
Yo,
sure.
Yo, God, good job.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. Well, guys, it's been so great for you to be here. Yeah, I'm so happy that you came and gave us your time.
Yes, ma'am.
And that's it for today. Stay fearless, friends, and we'll see you next time.